Come in close. Because the more you think you see, the easier it'll be to fool you.
Ladies and gentlemen,
for our final trick,
we are going to rob a bank. On the count of three, you will be teleported through space and time to your bank in Paris. 1, 2, 3.
So now you see me. Now it's...
Now you don't.
Goddamn title out of here or whatever. But so now you see me. Latest ensemble cast here. Avengers, Rise of the Guardians, whatever you want to call it. It's everything.
It's...
But I gotta say... It's magic, though, which I like. I ain't gonna lie. I like
it. Yeah, I gotta say, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love a good old illusion, a trick, whatever. But I gotta say, this wasn't a simple illusion trick, though, whatever. It was more spectacles and lights and Vegas and shows and everything. This is magic with a budget.
and surprisingly, this is magic for this director who, don't call it a comeback.
Well, I tell you what, he had to work with Bruce Banner somehow, you know.
That's, well played. He had to get the magic of everyone to forget about his shitty 3D job.
He said, goddamn, I'm working with this new Hulk one way or another. But, so, now you see me, though. It's an elite FBI squad. I wouldn't go that far now, but, you know. let's crop that out now, whatever. Okay. What movie that involved cops make them elite?
Not this one. This one, it's like the, it's like fucking Hogan's Heroes watching these guys try to take him down.
It's almost like, especially in one scene, dude, we have to talk about it with, let me just finish this. So there's one scene, though, I thought it was probably like the highlight of the whole goddamn movie, though, whatever. This one scene... Even though I was enjoying the film from this one scene, whatever, this one scene to me made me almost forget about the rest of the movie, whatever, because I was just like, wow, this is amazing, right?
And what scene? Well, do we want to go through scene by scene, or do we want to just jump to that?
You know what? I want to ask you about this scene. Let's jump to that. The scene where the cast here, we got Dave Franco, we got Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, Woody Harrelson, Isla Fisher, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine. But there's a scene with Dave Franco, and he's fighting Mark Ruffalo in the apartment.
It's ridiculous.
That scene, I'm sorry, that scene was pretty goddamn amazing. I was like, wow.
No, it was cool, but it's like that thing, it's like, wow, these are the most incompetent cops I've ever seen in a movie.
It's almost as if Dave Franco took, like, every simple magic trick you've ever seen at a hokey magic show or whatever and turned it into this apartment of, like, a Home Alone version of magic. Because the way he fights Mark Ruffalo here was just like, I was like, wow, this is great stunt work right here.
Mm-hmm. So, let's begin. Let's begin with Now You See Me. I almost feel bad doing a spoiler for this movie because that kind of ruins the fun. But fuck it, we're movie spoilers. We got to do it.
What would you think about that scene, though, that I just brought up, though?
I like that scene a lot. Like, I actually, you know what? Behind Iron Man 3, this is my favorite movie this summer this far.
Yeah, I can see that, too. Yeah, I'm trying to think of this. Yeah, I would agree with that. It is probably my favorite story. It's very summer-ish or whatever. It's fun as hell.
It's very fun.
Even with the flaws I had in it, or the one problem I had, whatever, it's not like it didn't take me out of the movie to where I hated the movie or whatever. I enjoyed it all the way through, whatever. And I was like, huh, I kept wondering, where are they going to go with this film, whatever. And after seeing that Dave Franco and Mark Ruffalo scene, I was like, that is fucking amazing, and I want to see more of that.
Yeah. Well, let's begin with the scene by scene. So, the movie sets up four street magicians. We have... Oh, crap, I forget their names.
Jesse Eisenberg plays Daniel Atlas.
Thank you.
Mark Ruffalo is a cop who plays Dylan Rhodes. Woody Harrelson was Merritt. I don't know his last name. Isla Fisher plays Henley. And Dave Franco plays Jack Wilder.
Yes. So, the four magicians are Isla Fisher is Henley Reeves. Dave Franco is Jack Wilder. Woody Harrelson is Merritt Osborne. And Jesse Eisenberg is Daniel Atlas. So, the four magicians, they're all working on their own. Adler's kind of like that... I mean, not at Adler Atlas is that dickish magician.
He's a real dick, whatever.
Yeah, he's a true dick who just uses his powers to get in the girl's pants. And I love that scene at the beginning where he's with the girl.
Yeah, you know, that was my scene. My buddy was like, he was like, that's something you do. And I looked at him and said, why, my buddy, you know me so very well.
Yes. So, Atlas is a bit of a dick, but he's a very, very smart magician. He's very good at making sure people don't know his illusions.
Because it's established that he used to do, like, shows just bigger than street musicians at all. He's been in the business before and everything, so he knows the routine of it.
Right. And who's also been in the routine is Woody Harrelson's character as Merritt Osborne, who is a mind reader and a hypnotist.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I thought Woody Harrelson was the funniest thing of the movie.
He killed it.
Every time he was on camera or whatever, every time he opened up his mouth, I was just laughing. Instant laugh from the audience as well.
Right. Isla Fisher is Henley Reeves, who is a master escapist.
Mm-hmm.
And the first scene with her is that they put her in a tank of piranhas in which you think she dies, and then she ends up escaping. Everyone's like, oh!
I will say one negative thing about the characters. I didn't really think about this till now, whatever. Isla Fisher, she was great at playing the part, whatever, but I felt like they didn't really give her much to do.
No, they didn't. I would agree with that. Actor,
which I think was where they kind of dropped the ball with her, is because they tried to set it up like her and Jesse Eisenberg had something going on, but it really went nowhere. And he's
No, it really didn't. I would agree with that. But and then we get to Dave Franco, who's just... he's a street punk magician.
Yeah. I mean, everybody else has titles to them or whatever and stuff, and when you get to him, he's just a con artist. He's a street punk or whatever.
Watch me bend this spoon. I know you did it. Okay, can I get your $100? Yeah. Wait, where the fuck my wallet go?
That was a funny-ass scene. But, you know, even on Dave Franco, though, it felt like he wasn't even in the movie that much as well, neither.
He wasn't really. I mean, he has that one great scene, but that's about it.
Yeah, he has that great scene or whatever, but after that, you kind of like... Well, you know, saying that, all four of them really wasn't on screen as much as... I think Woody Harrelson had the most screen time out of it. They try to go back and forth between Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson, but it almost becomes a Mark Ruffalo film.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that's what needs to be established. The film really does follow not these four criminals per se. It does at the beginning, but then it shifts focus to Mark Ruffalo's character, Dylan. Who is a FBI agent who's been assigned to pretty much figure out. So these four magicians.
Wild Coyote.
Yeah, these four magicians get called into some random place by four cards that each of them are given. And
I gotta stop right there. Jesse Eisenberg, like you said earlier, has some hot ass girl in his apartment, and he threw her off from him for that fucking card. I was like, okay, that's where it stops being me at now.
Right? Because I love when the girls just like what? Like I love the line where your girl's just like, you don't even have my number. I know magic. I can figure it out. Fuck you,
magic. Fuck yeah.
Like that got me really bad, but I do like one thing I do wish was a little more in the movie, because before they figure out what the cards are for, they show banter between the four magicians.
Yeah, they do,
and that's some of the funniest stuff in the movie, because you can tell that Isla Fisher's character and Jesse Eisenberg had a history, and there's jokes about how Jesse isn't exactly the best in bed that the two of them crack. They're actually really funny and catch you off guard.
And Woody Harrelson's character is playing the third wheel in the pot here, or whatever. He likes to steam it up a little bit. But, you know, even though the four of them wasn't on screen as much together or whatever, I felt like they had so much chemistry than compared to any other movie we've seen this year.
I would agree. Like, the four of them, when they're on screen, you can tell the four of them, like, they know each other. They can tell their partners. They all have fun. Like, there's a scene later where they're all on an airplane, and Woody Harrelson's hitting on Isla Fisher's character. And it's hysterical.
Yeah, exactly. And we can already say Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson, since they've worked together before.
Right, Zombieland.
Project. Yeah, in Zombieland. Yeah, you know, their chemistry already together as well. But to add Dave Franco and Isla Fisher in there and have these four get together with so many different personalities and characteristics of what kind of magic they can do or whatever, and to get along so well to where I didn't hate any one of them, and I was just like, I want to see more of that guy. I want to see more of Isla. I want to see, you know, that was cringing for more screen time with these guys.
Right. So After these four are called to a mysterious place, they're shown a blueprint for something. You're not shown as the audience member, but yeah, then we skip.
Stark came and dropped off some technology in this goddamn apartment because I was like, "What in the?" I got to the point where I was just like,
"But basically, what it is." Yeah, basically what it is some water drops and dry ice, like, causes these blueprints to activate, which is pretty cool to see, actually.
Everything in here, even though I was like, scratching my head or whatever, it's just cool, and it just made me look at it like, wow.
Yeah. No, you feel like you're at a magic show when watching it.
Yeah, you're caught by the illusion yourself or whatever. It doesn't take you out of the movie. It just makes you just look at it and stare like, ooh, pretty light. Like you want to put your hand out there and reach for it.
Right. So we then move to 4 months later, where it's shiny Las Vegas.
That's a year later.
Oh, it's a year later? My apologies. Yeah. So they're in shiny Las Vegas, and they have a show at
the MGM.
Yeah, the MGM. So. At this show, they do their normal illusions, but then they tell the audience, hey, we're going to rob a bank. The audience, okay, yeah!
I like Jesse Eisenberg's line, too. He's like, you guys seem really excited to commit a crime. Yeah, because as he says that, like, the whole audience is like, fuck yeah! Yeah!
So, pumped and shit. Yeah, they pick a random guy, and they do it. They rob a bank. And
whatever.
Yeah, they quote unquote rob a bank, but
I'm stressed out enough. They clearly rob a bank.
So, well, basically, what it is you know, as an audience member, you can kind of tell. Okay, they didn't rob it, but there is a bank that has the same name that surprisingly has the amount of money missing from it.
Mm-hmm.
But.
It was pretty funny, though, when because Morgan Freeman, he plays, like, the guy, he plays Thaddeus Bradley in the movie, and what he pretty much does is exposes magicians' acts or whatever, and when he breaks that down, that whole magic, I was looking at that like, damn.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a good thing to bring up. Morgan Freeman's in the audience, and his character is Thaddeus Bradley, and Thaddeus Bradley makes about a good 1 to 2 million for every episode he does of Magicians Exposed, is what he calls it. And it's pretty much, like, they're pretty much just exposés revealing magicians' whole elaborate schemes. So, we then move to, as we mentioned in this review many, many times, Wile E. fucking Coyote, Mark Ruffalo.
And that guy was awesome, dude.
Yeah, and his crackpot FBI team, who now have to deal with a bunch of magicians. And I just love when Mark Ruffalo goes in and is like, we know you stole money. Prove it.
The bantering of him, Mark Ruffalo, between Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg, that was like one of the best comedic moments in the whole movie, actually.
When he looks at his sidekick and goes like, I don't know what Transsexual Tuesday is, but girl, you can rock it in any dress.
And then he threw his hand in there and snapped his fingers like. Mm-hmm.
That got everybody in my theater.
That was Woody Harrelson, man. I don't see much of him in movies these days or whatever. I think last year was just Hunger Games, and this year we got this and Hunger Games. But whenever that guy's on screen, he's just getting more charismatic every moment.
He's getting a lot better. Like, I feel like ever since Zombieland and someone taught him how to get out of his shell, he's just been getting better and better.
He really has. I agree completely with you, and I don't know who taught him that, or he got a better agent or field director or whatever, but he's just been getting better to the point where I've even been watching his smaller films that he does that doesn't even get wide releases, and I'm loving them in it.
And they're all really good, aren't they?
No, they're all good, too.
So, we then, you know, Mark Ruffalo's character starts interrogating all of them, and they're all just fucking with them.
Yeah, pretty
Like, Jesse Eisenberg pretty much explains, okay, let's be honest here. You take us to any district attorney, and who's going to believe you that a bunch of magicians just robbed a shitload of money?
And Jesse Eisenberg is talking at 100 miles per hour, so you better keep up whatever. Because one time I was like, man, I'm glad I ain't in that room as a cop right now, whatever. I'd have been like, hey, chief, what did he just say?
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, it's so great that the movie's so reflexive in its humor. Because even Mark Ruffalo, when he's like, four magicians robbed the bank. Huh. Okay, where's the Loch Ness Monster, too? What the fuck?
Yeah. He's like, come on, don't goddamn. As soon as he steps on the scene, whatever, he's like, goddamn it, I don't want no part of this case. It's a bunch of magicians or whatever.
he, doesn't he explain, like, I have much better shit to do than this?
Yeah, exactly. And then Common, who's playing, like, the director, I guess, or whatever, he's just like, I thought you didn't want to part of this. He's like, I didn't until I met them.
So then the movie kind of shifts focus to Mark Ruffalo trying to figure out, slowly and surely, how the fuck this is going on.
Yeah, because he gets assigned a French Interpol agent as his partner on this or whatever, and she's pretty much trying to just, she's just pretty much chilling in the back, just like, she's pretty much like Morgan Freeman's character. You're an idiot.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that's so funny about Mark Ruffalo's character. Every person in the movie, you are a fucking idiot.
Every time Morgan Freeman is on screen, he's just fucking smiling at Mark Ruffalo and be like, my God, you can't get any stupider. You're an idiot, my friend.
What did I tell you about the tricks? You have to be one step ahead. If you're not, you're going to
Hulk out on Lucius.
Yeah. So, yeah, talk about the Avengers and Batman being mixed together.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. So, I really thought he was going to turn green and be like, God damn it, Lucius, just give me some fucking... Because they're all talking to him in riddles and shit.
He's like, right, no, my friend turned to me and, like, he's just like, I don't get it. I wouldn't piss them off if I was them.
And the way he, like they dressed Mark Ruffalo in the movie or whatever, with his beard and his hair is all over the place, whatever, he looks like he's just losing his goddamn mind. He reminded me of Michael Shannon from Premium Rush.
Oh my God.
Which is awesome.
Another awesome movie that didn't get anything.
I was like, man, those two need to team up for something like this, whatever.
Michael Shannon, Mark Ruffalo. Stop, sequel idea.
Add Joseph Gordon-Levitt in there on the bicycle, you know? Hey,
oh, goddamn. Crossover of two movies that nobody, like, ever thought would get crossed over.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we then move on to, as they explain after the first show, there's going to be an Act 2, which Mark Ruffalo's like, how do we know that Act 2 is in New Orleans? It's on the back of the pamphlet, dumbass.
He's looking at Morgan Freeman's character. He's like, how are you gonna know it's gonna be in New Orleans? And he just turns a pamphlet over, and I was just like, damn, how the fuck did you miss that?
So
I was like, man, Mark Ruffalo's an FBI agent, whatever. Matter of fact, they're all FBI agents. You even got a chick from Interpol there, whatever. He's like two of the highest agencies ever, and yet they're looking confused and like, oh, how do we know where they're gonna be at, whatever next? And then fucking Morgan Freeman's character just walked in and just turned a pamphlet over and just like, man, you cops are really stupid.
Yeah, so we then move on to Act 2, which is in New Orleans. So, throughout the movie, the magicians have been being funded by Michael Caine's character, Arthur Tressler.
How fucked up was this scene?
This was awesome!
At first, I just kept looking at, well, as soon as they introduced Michael Caine on stage, I was like, I don't like where this is going for you, bro.
So... Michael Caine is this rich owner of a financial company, insurance, correct?
Yeah, and he's probably, how much was he worth? Like $1.5 billion or something like
that? Yeah, $1.5 billion. So Michael Caine's character has been funding their magician act only for the second show to come around in New Orleans. And I love the line that Jesse Eisenberg says where every little we're going to show you a bunch of little tricks and show you how they act. But it plays into a bigger overall goal.
Yeah, and he pretty much sits up there and tells him, like, he's like, this really wasn't a trick. See, like, he does the one with the box and the rabbit, and he didn't.
Right.
Everybody's like, ooh, ah, and then he just takes open the box apart or whatever, and he's just like, you've just been tricked pretty much here or whatever.
Right, and it's I'll explain with how it correlates to the ending, at least for me, is that, you know, we were talking about this on the way home, my friends and I, and this script actually... I think it's a little smarter than people are letting it take it for.
I think it is I think it's probably... You know what? I want to give more credit to the director. I thought everything in this was directed well.
Lewis Leder?
Yeah, the pacing in it was just amazing. The action scenes that brought the life together or whatever, bringing these characters together or whatever. I want to give this guy a lot of credit. Even though
I've always thought he's a good director. I think, honestly, he's just gotten dicked by a couple of movies.
And it's a shame because I know for a fact, I don't even have to look at the box office. I know for the fact that this movie ain't going to make shit. I saw this movie in a fucking little ass theater with over 20 people in it. So
it is a packed house for me.
Yeah, people were still seeing Fast 6 when I got
Like, no, I was really shocked because I thought, like, oh, this probably isn't going to make any money. I walked in, it was a packed theater for me, and I was like, huh, it might.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be, like, number 3 in the box office.
You never know. It could catch steam, but...
I only doubt that, but...
Okay. So, as we explained, the second act, you know, they're explaining all the tricks, and then they get to the final one, and, of course, Mark Ruffalo and all of his men are there, like, oh, they're going to rob another bank. Let's see them do it again. Only to have Michael Caine come out and watch his life savings go to a bunch of people that he didn't cover for the Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah. The first thing he does or whatever is he tells him, he's like, this guy is in charge of the insurance company that didn't help either of you guys out when that tragedy hit your city or whatever. And then everybody looked at him and was like, the fuck?
Right. And then it hit me. It's like, wait, why are they having magic show in New Orleans? Oh.
But you know what? There's a funny joke in this as well or whatever. Woody Harrelson character, he hypnotizes 12 people to believe that they're football players. And when they hear the word freeze, they need to dismantle and tackle the person who says that word or whatever. And after the whole Michael Caine get up, whatever. They pretty much screw Michael Caine over to the point where he's kind of like, I thought Michael Caine was the one backing him up or whatever. And then you go like, oh, he kind of is a dick. Never mind then. And then the cop, Mark Ruffalo, starts chasing him and he's like, freeze! And then this woman just yells in the audience, get him! And they charge him or whatever, and they just look at him as they're getting lifted in the air, and they're just smiling at him or whatever. He's like, oh! 12 people are just mounting him.
It was like the thing where like a classic high school theme was playing in my head as they all came over.
I was going to say, that was some anime cartoon shit right there. When you see, like, the arms and legs of the limbs or whatever.
Mark, yeah.
I said, oh, my God.
No, it was a great payoff. But one thing we forgot to mention with the plot, it also explains that there's Mark Ruffalo and his partner do a little investigation and find a mystical kind of sacred truce known as the Eye, which is a sacred group of four horsemen, which is ironically the name of the magician trope that the four magicians have joined. The four horsemen, who are kind of Robin Hood-like figures that bring justice within a corrupt world using magic.
Yeah, we're not talking about Ric Flair's group from wrestling.
No, and that they explained that before the New Orleans show, and that's when the script started to click for me a little bit, because it's really about, you know, it's... You see the magic tricks, you see the dazzle, you see the spectacle, but unlike most magic shows, you also get the wonderful, you know, reveal of how these tricks worked, and that's kind of half the fun, is seeing, oh, that's how they did it.
And pretty much the movie starts off with the first line it says or whatever is, don't ever look too closely or whatever, and
right.
That's pretty much the theme of the whole movie, too.
Right, don't look too closely because you might miss something, and that plays into the ending as well.
That plays into the whole movie for me.
Right. So, we then...
You see me sitting there. I was like, I was a 10-year-old boy at a match. I'm just going, tell me more.
So, after the whole second idea, Mark Ruffalo's pissed beyond belief.
Yeah, he's pretty much... Because he's tracking them down or whatever. He's trying to chase them through New Orleans or whatever. And they stick a fake... another tracker on him to the point where he's tracking himself now.
And all the FBI's are pointing at him. He's like, I tracked myself.
He runs into a bar and runs into the bathroom. Matter of fact, this bathroom only has one stall. So I was just like, what is he looking at for or whatever? And the next night, he comes out of the bathroom and he pulls the tracker out of his pocket. He's like, I tracked myself.
And all the FBI agents lower their gun like, God damn it.
I said, like, what about an incompetent ass?
Right. So, after that, we then move on to trick number 3, or the final act, as they call it. Now, the final act has to deal with a safe that is... they explain that the safe has a shitload of money in it.
I want to say it was 250-something?
It was a ridiculous amount.
Apparently, this safe was cracked full of money.
Right, and the safe was owned by a steel company.
And mind you, don't ever forget, Morgan Freeman is following these guys all around town, just catching it all on camera.
Oh yeah, Morgan Freeman wants to expose these fuckers.
Because he's gonna get paid for it. He's right. Like, I'm not revealing any of my tapes.
Until yeah, because Michael Caine's just like, how much can I pay you to reveal these guys? He's like, well, what are you gonna pay me? $3 million. Ha! I'm making five off this if this goes.
And he's like, do I look like I'm flinching?
Yeah. So, the third trick has to deal with stealing a safe that belongs to a steel company and containing about $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark Ruffalo gets taken down. Well, actually, no. We should get to the Dave Franco fight because the other three escape, but Dave Franco stays behind to burn all the evidence.
Which I thought was kind of fucked up at first before I found out. I was like, he probably didn't die. But I was like, damn, y'all just, when Mark Ruffalo rushes through the apartment, I was like, did they just leave Dave? I was like, ain't that a bitch?
Yeah. So Dave Franco escapes in a car from Mark Ruffalo after using pretty much everything as a magician trick to subdue Mark Ruffalo.
The special effects in the scene where he was using the cards as fire, like a fireball or whatever, I was like, man, Ryu and Ken ain't got shit on you, brother.
Right. So
badass, dude. Oh, and the whole mirror thing, whatever. That was awesome. Mark Ruffalo was looking in the mirror and he saw Dave Franco and he thought it was him and then he kicks it or whatever and there was this glass. I was like, wow, this is and just Dave Franco just whoever his stunt double was or whatever just moving around in parkour movement or whatever.
Right.
I thought it was funny when he stuck the other cop in the dishwasher. I mean, right. the drainer or whatever. I was like, man, that's
so. After all that, Dave Franco gets away in a car, only for the audience to believe that he's been killed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the car crashes and explodes. So, which,
if you pay close attention, or whatever, you could see that it wasn't a real body in there.
Right. So. They then reveal that the third trick involves stealing the safe, but since the FBI took the case from Mark Ruffalo, now they're the ones that's being tricked every 5 seconds, and it's hilarious to watch.
Every scene in here, hilarious, whatever, just seeing how much of a buffoon Mark Ruffalo's character was.
But then, like, you know. What I like at the end of the movie is that when the FBI take it over, kind of being assholes about it, they're the ones that start getting dicked.
Yeah, and that was pretty hilarious. I mean,
he's the one that's actually slowly starting to realize it.
Because he's finally starting to pay attention to his little Interpol French chick he has. Right. She's pretty much telling him, hey, man, you've been being duped around for how long in this movie, whatever. Come on, you know, be subtle about it, and you know what's really going on. And it was coming to a point where I had kind of predicted where his character was going to go.
See, I was thinking about it. I kind of did, but at the same time, I was like, nah, there's got to be, like, this movie wouldn't do that. It's got to be something else.
Nah, it was pretty obvious where his character was going to go at this point. I mean, if they wasn't going to do anything else with his character, I was like, ah, I see where this is going. There has to, because there has to be a man that set all this up, whatever, and if they're putting him through all this, which I got to say is a little thrown in there a bit, whatever, but it becomes kind of pretty obvious where his character goes.
So, before we get there, the FBI thinks, ha, we got the safe back. We're okay. Only to find there's a shitload of balloon animals in it.
And Morgan Freeman's there. You idiot.
No, he doesn't say that to Mark Ruffalo. He says that to all the FBI, like, you idiots. So, now the FBI is like, fuck, where the hell are they? They find out they're on a building in Queens, only for the FBI to tackle three dummies, and for Mark Ruffalo and his partner to realize where they actually are. When they finally realize where they are, they actually escape, and money starts magically flying through the air.
Man, I tell you what, I gotta start following these motherfuckers wherever they go.
But
that's probably the only reason why their shows were always that crowded. Wherever they'd be like, man, they're gonna pop some money on some.
But here's the thing: as Mark Ruffalo realizes, the money's fake.
Yeah, the money's so, fake. It's got, like, pictures of them on the instead of George Washington and all
right.
Whatever.
So now his partner comes over and asks, wait, where the hell is the money from the safe? Morgan Freeman, to his car. Bip, bip. All the money.
And then the cops show up and be like, you son of a, you black bastard. We knew we couldn't trust you, whatever. Hey, who tipped you off? You idiots, I'm framed.
I'm brained. I didn't do it. I can explain how they did it. So Morgan Freeman explains how Dave Franco
started talking then, though.
Right. Dave Franco was a patsy. You know, he was the assistant that tricked everyone in the illusion. And here's how it happened. Then comes the big twist of the movie, which I know you said it didn't pay off for you because you saw it coming. I didn't. It then reveals that the whole mastermind throughout this whole plan was Mark Ruffalo's character.
I think any movie-going person could have caught that if you see a lot of movies or whatever.
Well, here's the reason I did it, is because the movie actually does a good job of possibly hinting that it's his partner. It does.
You know, at times I didn't catch that or whatever, it's just because it was throwing you off or whatever, but I swear, it was just circling around Mark Ruffalo's character. It's kind of inapplicable to what it's kind of inapplicable for what they did to his character or whatever to make him go to that length, but it was just like he's such a big portion of the movie now where the movie is following him a lot more in the movie, so I was like,
right,
it's got to involve him in somehow. Either he's going to join them or he's the one that set them up,
right? And the thing is, like, I honestly did think it was a partner just because she knew almost everything, like, before he did. Like, she figured it out so fast, and she studied everything. And that made me think, maybe it was her that set it up because she knows everything.
Well, the movie opens up with her pretty much having open a mind about it. That's why. So, that's why I didn't really catch on to her or whatever. You know, she was just so open and fascinated with this, and Mark Ruffalo's character being trying to lure them away, whatever. It's like, oh, magic doesn't exist, magic this, or I don't want to care about the magic, whatever. I just want to know who robbed a bank or whatever, so...
So, Mark Ruffalo then explains, you know, the reason I tricked you, Mr. Freeman, is because you've been trying to dick my society over for years, and I just wanted to watch you suffer. Because you were wrong, bitch!
I said, man, why do you gotta do that to the black man?
So
I said, he made Batman's weapons. Come on, man.
Right.
Give him a break. Come on.
So, Ruffalo reveals himself to be a member of the Eye, and he initiates the four members. The Four Horsemen. So that's where the movie ends off with their characters. But doesn't end off with Ruffalo's character there.
Ruffalo, I was going to say, it ends it with these four characters of them riding on a freaking horse trolley or whatever is going around.
Right, and disappearing to show that, hey, magic maybe does exist.
I just looked at that and just like, oh, okay.
But
and that.
We then see that Mark Ruffalo's character explains the targets. He explains the bank, Michael Caine's character, and the steel company. As it's mentioned throughout the movie, there is a magician that everyone talks about named... do you remember his name? It was Lewis something.
Actually, I don't remember the last name. It was Lewis something. I don't remember his name.
Lewis Rose.
It was like it started with an S, didn't it?
Yeah. It was... It was Lewis Rhodes. Lewis Rhodes just found it. So, Lewis Rhodes was a famous magician in the 70s who, after being exposed by Morgan Freeman, tried to do a comeback act of locking himself in a safe in the bottom of a river, and it failed miserably. And it's revealed at the end of the movie that Mark Ruffalo's character is a magician's son who is orphaned after the death.
Yeah.
And the reason that all three places were targeted, is the bank took all of Ruffalo and his father's money. Kane's company did not life insure Ruffalo's dad. And the steel company was the one that made the safe, and the safe was faulty. And the safe was faulty, and that's why Ruffalo's dad died, because he couldn't escape because of the faultiness of the safe itself. So, I did like the fact that everything kind of tied into itself, and you're right. It proves at the end of the movie that the message of the movie is, you know, don't look too closely at this. Because if you do, that's why they set it up as a girl. At least to me, they set it up as a girl only to trick us by having it be Ruffalo's character.
That's why I knew it was Ruffalo's character. I mean, any movie person could get it. Like, three people I was with caught that by. I was all just looking at that like, either he's going to be the part of this or he's going to join in there somehow, whatever. One thing I will complain about, though, is... what the fuck was Jesse Eisenberg's and their motivation for looking at some hologram they saw in a room to go along with this?
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
Oh, that. They explain later that they know what the eye is.
Right.
I remember that, because I thought that for a while, too, until they explained. They know the eye, and every magician knows the eye, and the goal of the magician is to join it. So they saw that it was a call from the eye because of the cards... And that's why they're going along with it.
So, to be on the run from the police and FBI and Interpol or whatever, we want to join the Eye. Wow, this magician shit better be well worth it then.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say at the end of the movie. Like, even though, like, do we know if this is real? I don't know. Is it?
That got kind of half-assed, you know, I gotta say, whatever, because that ain't no real motivation. I think that's why they spent less time with those four characters now.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I caught it, but I can understand how people could miss it, because it was very quick.
The pacing in it is real quick in this movie. I mean,
that's true.
Pretty good. And I actually like the pacing in the movie. I forgot I love the pacing in the movie.
I do, too, because it makes a lot of the humor work.
Yeah, so, what do you give it?
I give it a enthusiastic see it, especially after the other piece of dog shit we had to see this weekend.
Was that your favorite movie, Fast Six?
Oh, you're funny. No, it's a movie that you texted me angrily about.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, well, for me, I'm going to give this, even with the lack of motivation for the four main characters that were supposed to be here and ending of implausible things or whatever, but I get to see it too, whatever, you know, I had a lot of fun with the movie as far as just seeing the spectacle of things and the light right. show and everything else to go with it. It was a fun ass film.
Is the movie version of an actual magic trick, and I know that sounds kind of cliche and stupid, but you actually do feel like you're watching a full on magic trick when watching it.
And this was much better than that incredible Burt Wonderstone bullshit I had.
Oh, hell yeah.
So yeah, I gave a full see it.
And also a lot funnier, too.
Don't even get me started.
Expose them now and destroy them.
Whatever is about to follow him, whatever this grand trick is, is really going to amaze. Look closely, because the closer you think you are, the less you'll actually see.